Welcome to Unity Church, where we're committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race or gender identity or sexual orientation. Everyone's gifts are welcome here. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and helps you to live a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. We also invite you to take one of our classes, which are designed for newcomers and for those considering membership, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which is offered this coming Wednesday, December 5th. If you've already taken Welcome to Unity and are seeking a deeper involvement, please sign up for the Finding Yourself at Unity class, which is offered on Saturday, January 12th. You can sign up for both these classes at the welcome table. Oh, y'all decided to come after all. Good. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the church. In addition, I have a couple of very special announcements. Today is the Bolivian Handicrafts Sale. Measure your tables and check your gift lists. Fresh new items from Bolivia just in time for holiday shopping. There'll be backpacks and beach bags and ponchos and photo albums, tablecloths, potholders, and the ever-popular finger puppets, all for sale in the parish hall. Proceeds benefit Mano a Mano. So give cool gifts while supporting health care in Bolivia. It's a way to kind of soften the consumerism by doing something significant with your gift dollars. There's a new outreach team forming, and one that we wish to call your attention to. For people who are concerned about education for all children and for adults in our St. Paul neighborhoods, there is a new opportunity to address this through a literacy education community outreach ministry team forming at Unity Church. The first meeting of this new group will be next Sunday, December 9th at 10 a.m. You can meet other people who are interested in this justice issue and take the chance to hear about a new interfaith educational initiative with Webster Elementary School that's located just across the street from Unity Church. We're going to be working to both help with strengthening reading skills, and also, we think, helping to provide mentors for every sixth grade boy at Webster School. You're invited to come to our Wellspring Wednesday program this week. Dinner is at 6 o'clock. You need not sign up, just have faith. There'll be a good, warm, sustainable supper there for you. There'll be a brief intergenerational worship service at 6:45. And then at 7:10, we offer a variety of classes. Our featured class this week is Grinch Goes Green. The focus of this class is on green giving, with gifts that truly impact the recipient without overtaxing the earth. I will also be offering what we call a Dharma talk, which is a Buddhist phrase which refers to being with the teachings. This is an opportunity for people who wish to explore either my spiritual life or their own, more importantly, to gather with me here at the church for a conversation. And speaking of food, please mark your calendars for December 8th. You know, we didn't used to have announcements. And then you all started wanting to do things. Speaking of food, please mark your calendars for Saturday, December 8th, on which day you are invited to our monthly pancake breakfast. Begins at 8:30 and runs till 10. And immediately following breakfast, from 10 to 12, renowned family therapist and Professor Bill Doherty, a member of our congregation, will lead a workshop entitled Have Yourself a Unitarian Universalist Christmas. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you may greet one another, peruse our bookstall, and visit the information tables. Both the Children's Library and the Anderson Adult Library are open following each service and are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. Next Sunday, The service is entitled Welcome and Entertain Them All, and it will be led by Jan Eller Isaacs and Worship Associate Gene Olson. Services are at 9, 11, and 4:30. Following this service, Leah and I would be glad to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors, and once again, welcome to Unity Church.
Wait, wait, I know the answer to this one. Oh, I know her. Just give me a second. Please, wait. Sound familiar? We know the answer. We know that we know the answer. It's there. We just cannot seem to wait for it. Come. Let us worship together.
Before we read the affirmation in unison, I want to tell you that, as we did last year, we are extending the silent period during Advent, during these weeks leading up into the holidays, and we'll sing the little chant, "When I breathe in love, when I breathe out peace, when I breathe out love." And I'll just start it, and we'll sing it three times at the beginning of the silence and three times at the end. Please join in when you feel you know it. And will you read with me in unison? In the stillness of this place, in the season of long dark nights, teach us to embrace the darkness. In the stillness of this place, in the season of too much to do, open our hearts that we might wait and watch and hope for love to come. Please be seated.
I breathe out.
each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love and compassion and witness that is at the center of this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those in prison, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We mourn the death and celebrate the life of Kay Gardner. A service to celebrate her life was held yesterday in the Ames Chapel. Our hearts are with the Lane family as they anticipate the death of Eric's mother, Miriam. Mimi is in hospice care and close to death. We pray her children's love for one another will be restored in light of their mother's impending death. Our hearts are with Alan Burkholz, his wife Teresa, and their daughter Lillian. Alan's father died this past week. Laura Frickman's father died as well this past week, and we hold her in our prayers. And we hold Meg Arnasti and her family at her father's death. Cynthia Stange is living with a diagnosis of kidney cancer and asks our prayers. And we pray for the continued recovery of Avery Gallagher, 5 years old, living with brain cancer. Congratulations to Greg Ryland and Carol Ruppel, who were married yesterday at the Minneapolis Women's Club. And we share a sense of satisfaction and relief with Hallman intern Matt Alspaugh, who yesterday was approved for professional ministry by the Fellowship Committee of the Unitarian Universalist Association. And may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to speak aloud or to hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you've brought here with you. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives, be with us now as we remember how to wait. Those of us who pride ourselves on doing good need to balance our lives. Help us to do that by teaching us how to be at peace. Help us to surrender to the darkness, to the stillness, to the season. Help us to slow down, we pray. As love begins with listening, so light is born in darkness. Teach us to wait as we now wait for thee. Amen.
sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you."
Ruth, it's just magnificent. It's just magnificent. Thank you. Bill Etter, will you please come forward? And will Jan and Barbara and Louise join us up here as well?
Okay. Well, good morning. I think I should turn it up. I think by now most of you have read or heard that Louise Wolfgram has decided to step down from her position as Director of Resource Development on Unity's executive team. We want to take a few minutes this morning to recognize Louise and her contributions for this religious community. I'm going to say a few words and then invite Louise to do the same. And then Jan will have some concluding comments. After the service, we invite you to join us in the parish hall for a reception for Louise. Few have done so much. Few have done so much was the way the recent newsletter article began about this remarkable woman. Short of being a full-time minister, Louise's commitment and dedication to this church is unsurpassed. Raised a Unitarian Universalist in California, Louise joined Unity in 1975. Her work has been predominantly unpaid and behind the scenes. The following are but a few of her contributions. Louise has been a member of Unity's executive team, along with co-ministers Rob and Jan, and Director of Administration Barbara Hubbard. Since the team's inception in 1999, she helped create this innovative team structure and has been instrumental in ensuring its success. Also in the late 90s, she formed the development ministry team and has remained its leader. Her vision and quiet confidence has been key to the group's growth and effectiveness. The DMT's purpose, simply put, is to maintain a solid financial structure and capacity for Unity Church. This team oversees such things as investments, the annual pledge drive, the Heritage Society, real estate, and capital campaigns. Louise has been on the Board of Trustees twice and served as chair in her second term. Louise has been a champion of policy governance, the governance model used by the Board of Trustees. She has been a tremendous resource for the board at Unity and has spoken at national conferences and consulted with other UU congregations on its principles and implementation. She has done all of this and more while serving as CEO of Amicus, a local nonprofit that partners with inmates, ex-offenders, juvenile offenders, and communities to build successful lives and stronger communities. She will continue to lead this vital organization as it enters a new phase of its growth. While Louise's presence and contributions to Unity will lessen considerably with her retirement from the ET, we will continue to benefit from her wealth of experience and knowledge of this congregation. She will continue to be a key member of the DMT's donor relations team. Unity's mission is to engage people in a free, inclusive, religious community that encourages lives of integrity, service, and joy. Louise's life and commitment to Unity and the wider community certainly exemplifies such a life. As a small token of our appreciation for Louise and her contributions, we do have a gift. Louise and husband Richard have a relatively new home in Lanesboro that serves as a weekend and vacation retreat. With that in mind, the members of the Board of Trustees, the ET, the DMT, and the staff have contributed to a gift certificate from the Cornucopia Art Center in Lanesboro. Louise, on behalf of the entire congregation, please accept our thanks, gratitude, and best wishes. Thank you.
you, thank you. Thank you. Richard asked me what I was going to do today, and I said, I'm going to all three services, and I'm going to tell them what I do in moments of reflection about life and sitting at the doorstep of eternity and thinking about how human connections and care of the planet are the most important things in life. And he said, what does that have to do with shoveling the snow? And I said, I think Rob will get to that in his sermon. I don't know what to say except that I'm filled with gratitude for the opportunities that this community has given me to participate in its activities, service, and growth, and the joy that it's given me. The opportunity to get to know so many of you well and to feel the vigor of the congregation as we have come together over these last few years in our growth and determination and commitment to take care of each other and to reach out in love to the world. And I am ever so grateful to the 9 boards that I have worked with who have, I think, and loved the work that they've done and have been able to hold the future of Unity Church in their embrace and move us steadily forward. And to have had the opportunity to work with Barbara and Jan and Rob in all the endeavors that we've taken on, I can't name them all here, but has just been a privilege. I believe that resource development is primarily about nurturing a healthy institution that is that has integrity and generosity at its heart, and that in the case of a church, that pastoral care is the soul of its work. And if we have those things, people will feel cared for, and they'll get involved, and they'll give back. And that's all we can ask for from our church. And what we can give to the church is infinite. And I want to say thank you to all of you for the gifts that you give. And for those of you who are in the Heritage Society and who think about the future of this church as we journey on and who are willing to give to make sure that we're here in the future, thank you too. Thank you so much.
Words cannot express our gratitude to Louise. She has brought so much to this church and to the executive team. And the tears I'm shedding are for Barbara and Rob as well. But Louise has always done a good job of understanding the myriad of priorities that she has juggled in her life. The DMT, when we arrived, met from 6 to 8 so that Louise could get home and watch West Wing. And the greatest gift that we can give Louise now is to let her nurture her life, take this honor her life in Lanesboro with Richard, and acknowledge that she has given so much to us, and that we release her from these responsibilities, but not from affectionate company or commitment to this religious body. And we say, Godspeed, my dear and my friend and my beloved.
It seems somehow completely appropriate to move now to the offering. In large part because of the stewardship which Louise has brought to this congregation and the culture of generosity which has grown here, we are able to give the vast majority of our offering each Sunday to organizations whose values we share. The Alternatives to Violence Project is one of the organizations that whose work we admire and wish to support, particularly at this time of year when we bring to mind the one so often called the Prince of Peace. Alternatives to Violence seem to be religious acts, sacraments in and of themselves. Will the ushers please come forward? When we finally manage to balance our lives, when the intention of living with integrity, offering service, harvesting joy actually takes hold, can generosity be far behind?
In the dark, a child might ask, "What is the world?" just to hear his sister promise an unfinished wing of heaven, just to hear his brother say, "A house inside a house." But most of all, to hear his mother answer, "One more song, then you go to sleep." How could anyone in that bed guess that the question finds its beginning in the answer long growing inside the one who asked? That restless boy, the night's darling. Later, a man lying awake, he might ask it again, just to hear the silence charge him. This night, arching over your sleepless wondering, this night, the near ground, every reaching out to, overreaches, just to remind himself, out of what little earth and duration, out of what immense goodbye, each must make a safe place of his heart before so strange and wild a guest as God approaches.
My soul magnifies God. We are enlarged.
And my spirit breaks out, rejoicing in the face of freedom.
That God, something now within, yet not mine, has glanced at this daughter of hope.
And behold, henceforth, time will know and regard me.
For that great mystery is a beam drawn through this lens.
Comforting me and all people, the shadows now dispersed.
There is strength here, like the sinew of a mother's arm.
It shatters the brittle pride of wealth.
It levels the clay foot thrones of tyrants.
It upholds the forgotten, the sacred, the scarred.
Hunger, both body and soul, will be filled.
Riches will be no more rewarded.
The Holy One cleaves to those who keep faith. It will endure in those who serve mercy.
And the promise made to legend ancestors will be kept.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for waiting. Thank you for staying awake through the night. Thank you for teaching me the limits of my strength by meeting my strength with your own. Thank you for remembering that hospitality is, at its best, a sacrament. I pray that it might be a sacrament of this church. Once again, the seasons have circled round, and once again, the time has come for waiting. Not just the glad anticipation of the tinsel and the gifts, but the kind of waiting that turns in time to contemplative prayer. Now, waiting is not our long suit. In the great debate between faith and works, we stand squarely in the camp of our Protestant forebearers. We're all about getting it done. Life's satisfactions, as close to an analogy for salvation as most of us can stomach, seem to us to come largely out of good, hard work and not from faith in God. Advent, when practiced as a discipline, provides much-needed respite from all our doing. It is a necessary counterpoint to the exercising of our will. Not my will, but thine be done. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say that Jesus said that long ago night in the garden when he knew for certain he was bound to die and the disciples couldn't even stay awake. Not my will, but thine be done. Only those who learn to balance will and resignation can summon their full strength and make a safe place in his or her heart before so strange and wild a guest as God approaches. Our colleague Bill Schulz, who has served as both president of the Unitarian Universalist Association and of Amnesty International, a doer if ever there was one, reminds us that the mission of our faith is, in part, to teach the fragile art of hospitality. There is a way of being in the world, a way of welcoming the day, and yes, the stranger, a way of being hospitable which invites the same quality of attention, the same kind of waiting, the same way of waiting that we are calling this morning contemplative prayer. Hospitality, when understood this way, becomes more than simply being a good host. In theory, this kind of hospitality becomes a theology, and in practice, it becomes a sacrament. The mission of the season, the charge in the silence, is prepare not just your homes, but also do prepare your hearts. A strange and wild guest approaches. A holy child is always waiting to be born. We know a lot more about cleaning house than we do about opening our hearts. I think the greatest gift that the church can offer in this or any season is a clear invitation into depth and transformation. I want my church to tell me, if you do these things, they will help you become the person you long to be. They will help you live a life of integrity and service and even joy. With my own longing for such clarity in mind, let me offer you three kinds of spiritual practice, which taken together promise a more effective, more loving, and more satisfying life. Each one can be understood within the context of a theology of hospitality. Each is a way to strengthen our minds and prepare our hearts as we wait for the spirit of life to take hold. The first of these three is personal spiritual practice. You may choose yoga or martial arts or poetry or meditation. You may walk or run or stretch or even sing. If you do it regularly and bring to it that quality of attention that feels a lot like contemplative prayer, it will nourish and sustain you. A theology of hospitality might posit that in taking time to still and empty your mind, you hollow out a place for God to dwell. For that great mystery is a beam drawn through this lens. Don't worry. This does not need to be difficult. It does not need to hurt. Many of you have already found your way to daily practice. Those of you who sigh and say, "Not now, I just can't find the time," may well find you can bring that quality of attention inherent in spiritual practice to something that you're already doing. Just find a place to start. Slow down for a moment, stretch and breathe, and make a little space in your life. I promise you it will feel so good, you'll want to make a habit of it. And when you do, you will have fulfilled the first requirement. Congratulations. Okay, here's how it goes. Most of the people who feel I don't have time for spiritual practice, for personal spiritual practice, are parents with young children. So bring the quality of attention we're calling prayer this morning to how you are with your kids, and you will be practicing, and it will bring you joy. Those of you who don't know what to do but feel like you can carve out the time will please stand now. Really? Okay. You be careful with that hand, okay? So here's what you can do. When you get up in the morning, before you do anything else, and for God's sake, before you look at the newspaper or turn on NPR, you can do this. Inhale, exhale. Now what's going on here is your thumbs are together and your left fingers are in your right palm. And then you can go like this. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Palms toward the sky. Exhale. Back to here. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Palms toward the sky. Exhale. Now, if you wish to make that feel even more like spiritual practice, you can call that embracing the earth. And you can think about caring for the planet while you do it. Thank you. You may be seated. So thank you for waiting. James Luther Adams, the great Unitarian theologian of the last century, shed light on an aphorism from Jesus, changing just one word by saying, "By their groups, you shall know them." Cute. By their groups, you shall know them. The second set of practices the church quite rightly asks of us leads us to develop the capacity to engage honestly, quickly, and deeply with other people in small groups. Intimacy is, in its essence, a spiritual practice. You may recall the wonderful Hasidic story of the arrogant young seeker who wandered from village to village, from city to town. Some of you have been this person, challenging every rabbi that he met. "I will convert to Judaism from this very moment if you can recite the heart of Jewish teachings while standing on one foot." He was to put it mildly, not well received. He was thrown out of 100 synagogues before he finally put his question to Hillel the elder. Born in Babylon, Hillel returned from exile to study at the feet of the great Talmudic scholars of first century Jerusalem. Such was his scholarship and wisdom that he became the greatest Jewish teacher of his day. Given the years in which he lived, he in all likelihood had a profound influence upon Jesus. After years of searching, our cynical young drifter stood before the venerable Rabbi Hillel. "I'll convert right on the spot if you can recite the law while standing on one foot." And Hillel calmly lifted one foot up off of the ground and balanced there. He said, "What is hateful to thee, do not do unto thy neighbor. This is the whole of the law. All the rest is commentary." Or as Jesus put it, "This is the great commandment, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." What we call small group ministry is how we learn to be together in nourishing, creative ways. We learn the art of honesty, the way of clear and kind communication. We learn to speak and when we learn when to speak, and we learn when to listen. A theology of hospitality would teach us that when we engage one another in such conscious, loving ways, we prepare a place where God can dwell among us. Process theologian Henry Nelson Wyman used the phrase creative interchange as a way to point toward the reality of God. Just as personal practice hollows out a place for God to dwell, communal practice, by creative interchange, invites the holy in to occupy the intersection where soul meets soul in true communion. Yes. Take a moment now. Circle around, as you're able, into groups of four or five. Really. I know. We won't ask you to do stuff like this very often. Trust me. Just kind of turn around. Don't move too much around. Just turn in the pews. Okay? Wait. Shh, shh, shh. Wait. This is... Hello? If you could hold on for just a second, I'm going to tell you what I'd like you to do in your small groups. I want you to have one person speak while the others listen, no crosstalk, and here's your task. Name someone you're waiting for this season. It might be a relative coming to celebrate with you. It might be someone long dead with whom you hope to reconcile. I don't know who it is. Name them and two attributes. And don't think very much, just do it. One person talk at a time in the group, please, go. When everyone has had a chance, please go into silence.
Thank you for waiting. Thank you for making me wait. You've now had a taste of what the church offers. Through covenant groups and community outreach teams and classes for spiritual deepening, small group ministry. We teach it to our children, and we expect it of ourselves. Poet Marge Piercy in This Is a Poem for You reminds us, remember that we were most beautiful, not by twos, never in formless plenaries or mumbly caterpillar meetings, but in small, high, holy groups, shifting like starfish. The third of the three essential practices the church expects of us is leadership. It grows out of and is informed by the first two. Strengthened by personal practice, chastened and blessed by the lessons of intimate engagement, we become unable to remain complacent in the face of other people's pain. We become unable to stand back from preserving the beauty. Our creativity bursts forth like beauteous light as we press mind and body hard against the world in hope of beauty and love and justice. Broken open by compassion, we rise to the occasion. If the promise made to Mary when Gabriel gave her the good and terrifying news is to be kept, then we must be among the ones who help to keep it. In the dark, a child might ask, "What is the world?" just to hear his sister promise, "An unfinished wing of heaven." Just to hear his brother say, "A house inside a house." But most of all, to hear his mother answer, "One more song, and then you go to sleep." Thank you for waiting. May the darkness teach us how to pray. Now, one more song, and then you go to sleep. So be it, and amen. Begin then with singing. Sing darkness, cradled back into beginning when the caught tongue nodded blind. A star was broken into the centuries of the child. Prepare your homes, but most of all, prepare your hearts. May it be so. And amen.